Hey, Wildcats, and welcome to the Sorry Meadows podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and today I'm joined by Jack and Melanie. And today we're going to be talking about the best TV show of 2021 and the MCU's best TV show so far, Hawkeye.
High School Music. Oh, okay.
We're gonna yeah. Start every episode now with Hey Wildcats.
Hey Wildcats. I can think of multiple characters in this show who would be in the Wildcats because there's a musical in it. That's what I want High School Musical the Musical season 4 to do. Avengers the Musical.
No.
They're both Disney.
No.
We're going to start just seeing what everyone thought of the incredible show. And then we're going to go character by character, including the dog.
The most important character.
Spoiler alert.
So, because I'm used to doing this first when we record our other podcast, Intermediate Studies of Podcast of Generality, where every week we watch love and talk about an episode of the greatest TV show of all time, Community. Go give it a listen. I'm going to first say, Jack, what did you think of the show?
It's pretty good, isn't it? It's funny because I started watching it and I wasn't completely invested from the start. I was sort of like, oh, this is a show I'll watch, I guess. And I watched two episodes and then I stopped watching it. And it's only because Mike kept going, oh my God, it's the best show ever. You have to finish it every time we're on any kind of cool ever.
And I was right.
To an extent. So I watched the rest of it. I thought it was very good. I think about four episodes in, I was like, I'm still not buying this show. And then about at that halfway point, I started getting really into it. And the last two episodes were excellent and shot it right up to the top for me. But I wouldn't say it's as good as Loki for me. I even prefer Falcon and the Winter Soldier to it, I'd say. But I'd say it's my third favorite out of all the MCU shows so far.
Fair. What did you think, Melanie?
I really liked it. I think out of all the Marvel shows, this one was the one where I expected the least, just because Hawkeye was never one of my favorites, and he didn't necessarily always have much to do or much personality in the films. But then it turned out really great. Really liked, you know, Hawkeye as the character. Finally got some time to shine. And obviously Kate is amazing. And yeah, it's just like a fun show with a good story, a nice little holiday watch. And yeah, it was just really fun. I really liked it. I think it was made fun a lot by Hailee Steinfeld, and spoilers.
Full spoilers all episode.
But yeah,
do not watch this if you haven't seen Hawkeye.
Or listen.
Or listen. You know, if you're just read the transcript, don't read the rest. But if you're listening, it's totally fine.
If you haven't seen it. Spoilers are only in the written version of the podcast.
Yeah.
Not really. Before anyone somehow believes that.
We are being sarcastic right now.
I loved this show. As Melanie knows, because she's in a group chat with me that Jack's not invited to. I was very excited for this, and I wouldn't shut up about it for a few months before it came out. And then for over a month before it came out, I did a countdown every single day of how many days were left until Hawkeye. Because I was so excited for it.
You even listed your favorite archers.
I made a list of my top 9 favorite fictional archers based on it, including Melanie. Because I'm going to list you some things that I love. I love the MCU. I love Christmas. I love cute dogs. I love characters that use bows and arrows. I love Matt Fraction and David Aja's run on Hawkeye. I love Hailee Steinfeld. I love Florence Pugh. And this show is all of those things all at once. So yeah, I was guaranteed. And then it was amazing. I thought it was great. I loved that it was just it was a lot smaller than the other MCU stories. Like, there was no like world at risk. It was just Clint wanting to go home to his family. And what I found very funny is that they made an MCU show that was literally sitcoms, and it was miserable. It was their most miserable one. Like, they made it literally sitcoms, and they made it so sad. But they made this show about a man who's so sad and just doesn't want to be there and is so grumpy. And it's the funniest one. Great. But yeah, obviously, Kate Bishop, just incredible.
Yeah.
That's a point on its own, but we'll get to her. Because we're going to go character by character. And we're going to start with Clint Barton, otherwise known as Hawk Guy.
Hawk Guy.
Hawk Guy. This was the best version of his Hawkeye so far.
Not Hawk.
He's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd expect that, hopefully, because the show's focused on him.
Yeah.
Jack, you say that, but don't forget that Vision's name was in WandaVision.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And as Melanie just said, Black Widow was in Black Widow.
But, like, she wasn't
and
the
Iron
main
Man's
attraction.
And Iron Man 3. So, Thor is in Thor 1 and 2.
Okay, so. Right, your point is made.
But yeah, he's really good in this. I've always liked him. He's just... Because people, when Avengers came out, they were really like mean about Clint. They were like, oh, why is Hawkeye on the...
I liked him in Avengers. I didn't... I sort of stopped caring about him later on in the later movies.
Always thought he's a lot of fun. And I thought ever since like Age of Ultron, when they gave him a family, I thought he's felt like a very good character.
Yeah.
And I thought I was really hoping that the show would do something with the fact that in Endgame, because I really like him in Endgame, when it's like he lost all his family and now he's just a psychopath. I was really hoping the show would do something. I think they did a really good job at like remembering that that happened.
Yeah.
I think Clint is the hero who has the most to lose as well, with his like whole family. And,
yeah.
You know, that's why in, you know, Endgame he's gone completely ballistic. And in this show, it's kind of like the repercussions of that have come back to haunt him, which is quite cool because it could have just been, you know, just swept under the rug, you know, oh, what's Clint been doing all these years? Oh, he's been this character, and then that's it. But they've made a whole show about the repercussions of what he did during the blip.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it, well, I guess they all kind of do, but this one really feels more like it's actually now dealing with something that happened in the movies more than the others. I mean, of course, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is also that. But yeah, this one was just really focused on him and what... Because this whole Ronin stuff in the movies was so short, really.
Yeah.
Only one of the shows that directly deals with the impact of the character it's focusing on. So I think WandaVision is sort of the first time those two properly get a story. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, again, is the first time those two properly get a story. Like, it's more focused on the legacy of Captain America. Loki's just a whole thing.
It's a whole other thing.
And this is the first one that's like, this character in a movie did something bad and now it's coming back to haunt him. It's very cool. I think it does a really good job as well with finally like showing like why he fits on the Avengers, like why he's a part of the team. Because like, it's very easy when you watch those movies to go, are they aware that this guy just has a bow and arrow? But then like you get that scene at the start where, hey, we know I love bows and arrows. You get that scene at the start where Kate like sees him during the battle in New York on the roof. And it's like seeing it from a person in the world's perspective. And it's like, whoa, look at that dude.
This guy is crazy.
To be fair, as I said, I really liked him in Avengers. And, you know, seeing him in Avengers doing all the cool bow and arrow stuff. It's really cool stuff. I like that.
And I like that this show also does a very good job of, like, portraying what actually makes Hawkeye, like, who he is. Because not just character-wise, but, like, skill-wise. Because in the films, he's only ever really used a bow and arrow. But his whole thing is that, like, his whole thing is, like, his life as a weapon. Because he just is a weapon in general. And, like, anything he picks up, he can just turn it into a weapon.
Mm.
Films, he just always uses bow and arrow. He just uses it because it's his favorite of those things.
Yeah.
But in this, like, he can use anything. Like, he uses the Christmas tree decoration. Like, Kate uses a shopping trolley and a bottle of champagne at one point. They just, like, use anything they can find. It's great.
Why don't they just give him a gun? He would be so good.
Because bow and arrow is cooler. In Thor, when Thor's breaking into the shield compound to get his hammer back, and they call Hawkeye and go, We need eyes up high. Hawkeye goes to reach for a gun and then goes, no, and then picks up the bow and arrow instead.
Also, a bow and arrow is stealthier.
Oh yeah, that's true.
No
yeah.
sound.
Yeah. Or almost apart no sound. From
they're not that loud.
They're kind of loud. They're
especially
not, like...
his bow. His bow is very
Yeah, they're not that loud.
They're not obviously as loud as a gun.
Yeah.
I also think it was very cool that this show dealt with what Natasha's loss meant to Clint.
Hmm.
And obviously there's another character that is obviously very much about that. But so this show is a better send-off to Black Widow than her own movie.
Black Widow. Yeah.
So like, yeah, and they deal with that really well. And you get a better sense of their history as friends in this than you often get from them actually together in the films. Because he talks about the story about when they first met. He talks about them being friends. He talks about missions they went on. He sees the incredible musical at the start. And he gets really upset when she comes on and turns his hearing aid off. Oh, yeah. And they made him. Yeah.
And they gave him the hearing aid.
Yeah, big deal.
And they're like, what happened? And it just goes through a whole montage of him like being next to loud stuff.
That was funny.
Yeah, that's going to wear your hearing down, man.
Yeah. 2021 was an amazing year for deaf and hard of hearing representation. This show had two characters have it prominently.
Yeah.
Quiet Place, Only Murders in the Building, Sound of Metal, Walking Dead. Or like very prominently.
Yeah, deaf, I felt like any new show I started watching had like a deaf or hard of hearing character in it. Pretty nice. Lots of sign language. I hope it inspires people to learn sign language. Also,
really
Strictly Come Dancing. Strictly Come Dancing also had a deaf person.
Ben? Very, very good thing to do with this character. And it led to one of my favorite jokes in the show, which was when Maya came up to him and signed, pointed at his hearing aid and signed, "You rely too much on technology." And he said, "My go-to weapon is two sticks and a piece of string, so I don't think that's true."
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So much fun.
He's not the only Hawkeye in this show, though, is he?
No.
Kate Bishop's also in it. Kate Bishop. Our friend Darren have always been very much on the train of like, ever since Kate Bishop was introduced in the comics, we've been like, Kate is a better Hawkeye than Clint. She's more fun. I find her more interesting. I find her cooler. And I love Clint, but I love Kate Bishop. And I fan cast years ago Hayley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop. And then it turns out everyone else was also doing it. And they actually, for this show, they wrote the part with Hayley Steinfeld in mind and then called her and were like, "Do you want to come in and discuss if you're going to do it?" And she was like, "Yeah." Because apparently it was like her dream part as well.
Oh,
like
wow.
It was exactly what she wanted to play. So like all came together like perfectly.
Nice.
And just what a casting.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sold on her at the beginning. And I just saw Mike recoil as I said that. I found her annoying. I just thought she was really irritating.
Ooh.
But she won me over in the end.
I really like how cocky she was.
That's probably why I didn't like her. You know, like at the start where she like shoots the bell out and destroys the tower and stuff like that. It's
yeah, but that wasn't
like...
she didn't want to do that.
Yeah, it was
she
an
shouldn't
accident.
Have done it then.
Yeah, but Jack, what a great shot.
Yeah, it's a great shot. And it does establish her as a, you know, a very good, proficient person with a bow. But also she's annoying and she's really annoying to Clint.
You
know? No, I really liked her. I loved like how much Clint just didn't want her around.
Like, yeah.
So long. She's like, please, Kate, stop. But it led to that great, no, Kate, you're my partner moment in the finale. It was like such a like fist pump. It's like, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I just, great. I thought like, I found everything she did like a lot of fun. And I loved that they found a way to write a story that felt like it was as much of her story as it was Clint's without like, taking away from Clint at all. Like it was still very much based around him, but like and her. That point sounded a lot better in my head before it came out. There were more words involved originally.
They're sort of both the main protagonists, aren't they? It's a story about both of them, not just Clint.
So they should have called Hawkeyes.
Hawkeyes.
She's amazing. And she had some of the best chemistry in the entire MCU with Yelena. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the scene where Yelena's waiting in her, what is that, a garage? I don't even know.
Her flat.
Her flat? It's like a mezzanine on top. It's very odd.
Mezzanine!
Mezzanine! little reference for our other podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Community, my favorite TV show.
No, Doctor Who's your favorite TV show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
But yeah, calling her Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop!
Making a box mac and cheese.
How great is Kate's apartment? It's a big empty space with a diner table in the middle and a warehouse staircase.
And a shooting place with a target.
It's amazing.
I honestly thought she had found some abandoned building and that was her escape place.
I know, it's an actual
apartment. Her rich parents.
I also loved, and this is something that got less as it went on, which makes sense. But I love that because Kate had obviously been training with bow and arrow and fencing and stuff her whole life, so she was really talented. She'd never been in a real fight until the show. So I love that in her first few fights, she was so clumsy, nonstop. She was dropping everything, she was breaking everything, she was falling over. when she goes on the skylight and just falls through.
When she's saving Clint, yeah.
I love that, you watch it and you're like, yeah, she's talented, but she's also, in the early episodes, pretty useless. That's great. And when they're doing the car chase, she's using all the trick arrows, but she's got no clue what any of them are. So she's hoping that they all do something.
Just fires a plunger arrow just at the window. Dunk!
Yeah. Very useful arrow, though.
Yeah.
Very useful arrow. The USB arrow.
This is a little very dangerous arrow.
So a little what if reference. So use the USB arrow in what if.
Oh yeah, right. I remember.
Don't. It's fine. I keep an eye out when people are using bow and arrows, Melanie. Another thing I love, and it's probably the same thing as loving bows and arrows. I love trick arrows. This show's got loads. It's got the Ant-Man arrows, the arrow with all the spikes that's been around, the goo.
The USB arrow.
That Ant-Man arrow on the ice is hilarious.
Yeah, when they're just
you can just hear loads of high squeaking from inside the van.
The owl! The owl takes it away!
But that's mental, the fact they drove that van just off in full speed into the ice rink. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't the smartest of characters to track
him
back to.
What would have happened? They would have just crashed the car.
Well, usually.
Yeah, they didn't even know where they were. They were just driving it into the ice rink and praying.
Yeah.
A flying van is pretty immune to a bow and arrow.
Yeah, thought there's absolutely no way.
No matter what they hit us with, we're going to keep going in that direction. Also, another arrow that was really messed up was the Stark Tech one that grabbed the guy's leg and then just rocketed into the air. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
He was safely lifted to a high
space.
Point. Yeah.
He's in the tree.
He was launched into space and got his own Iron Man suit, and now that's how we're gonna get the next Iron Man.
Oh yeah. The answer to the question who's the next Iron Man is that tracksuit mafia who Hawkeye sent to space.
Yeah. What a great origin story.
Shall we talk about one of the other best characters in this show, Yelena? Have you seen Hawkeye? No, have you seen Hawkeye, Jack? Have you seen Hawkeye?
No, I haven't.
Nah.
I haven't seen Hawkeye.
Well, I'm not surprised. You did call Clint Jason Barton before we started recording. Have you seen Black Widow?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I thought she was the highlight of Black Widow. She's one of the highlights here.
Yeah,
she's just a highlight.
Just a highlight.
She's a highlight in my life.
Do you think she'll become a main character
Oh yeah, I think they're setting up Young Avengers like easy, because they've now replaced Captain America with a young man in his late 30s. They've replaced Hawkeye. They've replaced Black Widow.
They haven't. I mean, they didn't need to replace Spider-Man because he's young.
They're doing She-Hulk as well, aren't they?
Yeah, She-Hulk. Ironheart's on the way. Ms. Marvel's on the way, even though you can't replace Captain Marvel yet, but still, like, they're in.
That was quick. She's had one film.
She's just always off somewhere else because she would be too powerful if she were actually in the movies.
But yeah, she's just great. I love, like you said, Jack, I love just her, like, calling her Kate Bishop all the time. Kate Bishop.
You call me Kate Bishop because you want me to know that you know my full name? Oh, that's not all I know, Kate Bishop.
You're so funny, Kate Bishop.
Oh, so good.
Those two together are incredible. Like, that whole, like, dinner scene. I love the story that, like, they were going to have just, like... Because you know how usually when actors, like, eat on screen? Even when they're putting it in their mouth, they don't just, like, eat the whole meal when they're eating. They're, like, they'll, like, fake eat or, like, they'll spit bits out in between takes. Florence Pugh just kept eating the mac and cheese. And apparently it was her idea to add all the hot sauce. And the directors were getting really worried about her because she was just eating way too much hot sauce.
Wow, I love her even more now.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's the best.
And the their fight in quotation marks scene it's in the finale, so good. In the where they're just trying to like get in the way of each other.
Yeah,
stop making me like you. I can't.
Yeah, oh, that was so good. Yeah, I love how much Kate just instantly sort of likes Yelena, even though, you know, she is threatening her by saying her full name all the time and sort of being threatening-y. But then again, Yelena doesn't want to hurt Kate because she's like, just stay out of my way.
She's like making an effort to not hurt Kate.
Yeah.
And I love how like really nice. Offended she gets when Kate says, "You tried to kill me on that roof." And she was like, "I did not try to kill you."
Because if she did, she would be dead.
Yeah.
What's the quote? She's like, "You tried to kill me on that roof and then you broke into my apartment." She's like, "I did not try to kill you. One, I put you on a cable because I was removing an obstacle. And two, I did not break anything. I'm much better than that." It's incredible. And then like, just like this scene in the lift where like clearly like the first time they meet, Kate's like, "I don't want to like you." Then literally two meetings and they're like best friends all of a sudden. Like, in the lift, like she slaps Yelena. She's like, "What was that?"
Oh, their chemistry is so good. It's so good.
Like, those two being together, those two being so good together almost makes you forget that, like, the conclusion to Yelena's story in this is with Clint.
Yeah.
It's like, she's obviously redeeming, trying to, like, get revenge for Natasha and then, like, finding out what actually happened. And then, like, I love their scene together of him telling, like, Yelena, like, how much of a hero her sister was. I think that's great. Oh, and Yelena's flashback where she gets snapped is bloody terrifying.
Oh, yeah, when she like looks at the camera, pans up as she's putting like the water into her face and it's just dust. Excellent.
Because we've never seen it like from the perspective of someone who got snapped before. We've only seen it the other way around. It's like, it was really scary. And like, really, the whole world like around her, because like, her brain just clearly couldn't keep up.
That was very cool. Like, all the paint changing on the walls and stuff like that.
And I've seen, like, edits of people who have put that, like, side by side with, like, Thanos snapping his fingers and her, like, fading away. Then, like, Hulk snapping his fingers to bring everyone back and her coming back. And it's, like, it's weird to think of, like, just how much time, like, 5 years really is.
Yeah.
That feels like a huge gap. And even when between Infinity War and Endgame, for us, it was only 1 year.
Hmm. Mm.
5 years is such a long time. And like, the really like implications as well of like Anna's house that she's in, where Anna's like, "Yeah, we got this kid, her parents got blipped, so we adopted her, and now like that kid's parents are gonna be back. That kid spent most of her time with her new parents." It's like, what do you even do in that situation? Which family does she go with?
Yeah. What year is Hawkeye set in? Is it 2023?
It's 2023. Everything MCU that we've had since Endgame has been set in 2023.
Yeah.
And I think they're just going to keep doing that until we're in 2023 in real life. I think so they don't have to worry about it being the future.
Because five-year gap changed in, you know, between Infinity War and Endgame. Were they, like, they must have been, like, 4 years behind or something.
Yeah, they were. Cause
running up to that.
Yeah, because they do the immediate five-year jump, and then it's... Because like, Endgame came out in 2019, but the start is set in 2018 when Infinity War was set. Then they do the five-year jump, which is why everything since... Like, both of the last two Spider-Man films are set in 2023. They're set, like, a few days apart. Because, like, they just... I think they're just doing that until we reach 2023 in real life, and then they'll start going forward again. Except Loki, I guess. That was set everywhere.
Yeah, that was just all over the place.
Yeah. I so love cool. Yelena. So good. I love Yelena. I love Yelena and Kate. And Yelena and Kate together.
Oh.
We definitely want to see more of that. Just put them together in every single opportunity you have.
I think the next time Kate's showing up, and apologies if this is a spoiler or not, because I don't know if it's going to be something they announce officially. I think the next place Kate's showing up is Ant-Man 3.
Are you spoiling some? Do you have some intel or something? Like,
yeah, I'm best friends with everyone in the MCU, so
you don't know if it's official or
Mike
not.
Mike is actually Kevin Feige in disguise.
you're like Tom Holland. This is
yes,
top secret.
That's what the Sorry Meadows podcast has been for all along, to boost the MCU's viewership.
Because they
no one question how that works out. Because they've recast Cassie Lang in Ant-Man 3 with Catherine Newton, because I think they're going to be turning her into a superhero. So why not bring Kate Bishop in to have more young Avenger interactions beforehand? Just put her in everything. Everyone wants it.
Yeah.
Honestly, just have
now.
Like a random scene in every movie now where it's just Kate Bishop and Yelena talking.
Going on dates.
Doesn't even have to be like connected to this plot. Just them going on
a
date.
To be in the same location. Just
yeah.
Every post-credit scene now.
It's just another. It's another episode in the Kate Bishop and Yelena love story or story. But yeah.
One last thing about Yelena. When we find out that she's contracted by someone to kill Clint, right?
Yeah.
I Jason. Thought it was going to be the Jason. Woman who's been who showed up at the end of Black Widow, and also at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
which is really interesting because I thought that as well, but clearly she's in contact with the crime world as well. So now I'm very interested what she's all about. It's very cool. Can't wait to find that out.
They seem to be getting another team together. Yeah.
Because
I
thought
this character is,
she would show up in Shang-Chi to recruit Abomination as like a forming like the side Avengers, the fake Avengers, because she's got Captain America, she's got a Black Widow, Abomination could be a Hulk. Anyway, maybe in She-Hulk, but yeah, I'm very interested to see where that goes. I'm actually more interested in seeing where that goes than seeing where what's the signal from the post credits of Shang-Chi went. So I know that's probably going to the cosmic side of the MCU, which is now the Eternals. It weren't very interesting.
What's the signal?
We don't know yet. That's the question. but like this side of the MCU with like all the small scale stuff is currently doing
a lot better.
Sam and Bucky and John Walker's like Cap arc that's coming, and Kate and Yelena and Clint. It's like this just it's really cool at the moment. And I think if we get more Spider-Man, obviously not saying any more spoilers. Not saying any spoilers for No Way Home in this, but I think if we get more Spider-Man after this, I think he would fit more with these grounded characters than with like the cosmic stuff.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying the more boots in the ground stuff from the MCU recently more than the cosmic stuff, because we had so much of it with like the Infinity War stuff, and you know, just having planet Earth problems is so refreshing and nice for the MCU.
I know, like, at the moment they're doing both, and it's why these Disney Plus shows are so good, because like we're getting so much MCU at the moment that like every story they want to tell they just can now. And like if you want to tell a story about that doesn't fit in at all about Thor going to Earth and having a big party, you can now. Like they just tell whatever story they want now, and that's cool because comics you've got all these characters, but you have time to tell their stories. you're releasing a new issue every month, you're releasing like hundreds of issues a year. The MCU doesn't have that luxury. So I like that we're getting MCU all the time now. And some people may find that overwhelming. I do not.
No, I'm loving it.
No. Great. I mean, it's all sort of different enough now, especially with the shows, because you had Loki, which was very different, and then you had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which was more like...
It's all been good as well. Even like Eternals and Black Widow and WandaVision, which I had issues with, they're all still...
And they're all focusing good. On characters that haven't had the limelight.
Yeah.
So that's what's refreshing about it, is, you know, we all love Loki, but he's not been a massive part of the whole thing. He's been there, but having a whole show dedicated to him is really nice. And the same with, you know, Falcon and Sebastian Stan.
Bucky. I'm going to have to rewatch that. Yep.
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't. I've already watched Hawkeye twice.
I have watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier twice.
Oh.
I watched
it. Did you just fast forward to all the Bucky scenes on the
show? No, but I pretty much watched it back to back.
And if anyone wants to hear more of our thoughts on Loki and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, go and listen to our episodes on them. And What If? And WandaVision, I guess.
And WandaVision.
So I wasn't happy in that episode. Let's talk about Maya, because wasn't she awesome?
Yeah.
Tapping over to the
Jack, just trying to remember who Maya is.
Yeah, no, I really like Maya. I really liked her. I was worried she was just gonna be like a small scale bad guy and then defeated, but it seems that there's gonna be more with her.
Then again, I love that like they started to redeem her a bit at the end, because she's getting her own show, Echo, as one of the Disney Plus shows. And I think that, spoilers for this show incoming, I think the villain of that show is going to be a blind kingpin. I think it will be blind kingpin versus deaf Echo. Oh,
yeah.
Which would be really cool. I think that maybe another blind superhero who's interacted with kingpin could show up. A really good lawyer.
slutty energy.
Such a good lawyer.
I mean...
Slut devil.
he has slutty energy in Daredevil. Okay, Jack. And I love him for it.
You've broken me and Mike.
I mean, Mike knows this. I've been calling Matt Murdock a slut or a whore in the group chat.
Melanie just sent me a picture of Daredevil stood in front of a mirror that had whore written on it in lips.
It's a good picture.
Oh no.
I have to actually rewatch and finish Daredevil.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen seasons 2 or 3.
Oh, they're really good. Well,
I've only ever seen Iron Fist.
You love Iron
Fist.
I probably won't
watch that.
This is
I love Iron Fist.
But Maya, very cool.
Yes.
I love the dynamic of having two separate people, both after revenge on Clint as well. Mm. But Maya not knowing that it's Clint or Hawkeye. She just knows it's Ronin.
Yeah. And she's like, her enemy is both.
Yeah.
Because I love that there's a point where they think that Kate Bishop is Ronin.
Yeah,
because like, she puts Kate, on the Kate thing Bishop on episode is guy. One. Kate Bishop is guy. No, Kate Bishop is not guy. I think, and I'm just going to fact check it, confirm it, because it's a very impressive fact if it's true. Hawkeye is Alakwa Cox's first acting role as well, who plays Maya, which is really...
Wow.
Especially in she's very good stunts in it and everything.
It's a first acting role. She's excellent.
And obviously she doesn't speak, so she gets it all across with like physical performance and facial expressions and everything. And she's so good. Like, what a fun.
The fact that you said she doesn't speak has just blown my mind, because she doesn't, and I didn't realise. That's how good she was able to communicate. With like her body language.
And sign language.
Yeah. I don't know sign language though. So.
I mean, you could read the
subtitles.
The subtitles help.
Jack's about to say, you just blow my mind saying there were subtitles.
Where were
I had to learn ALS.
This is why
just
Jack didn't
show.
Understand like episode 1 to 4 because he just like he just didn't have the subtitles.
American
no,
Sign
ASL.
Language.
ASL.
Oh, it's ASL. Yeah.
ALS is the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, she was incredible. I cannot wait for her show, especially if it's got some other people in it.
Mm.
But yeah, awesome. Very cool. And also, an amputee. Instance, which is really impressive.
An NPC one?
Amputee. She doesn't have a leg.
She's a non-playable character.
Well, I'd say she played the hell out of her. So,
Yeah, definitely.
Who else is in this show? Eleanor Bishop.
I don't have much to say on Eleanor Bishop apart from she sucks.
Wow.
Well, I like
the
actress.
As in the character, not like the, you know.
Vera Farmiga is the busiest actress in Hollywood. Like, she's so busy. Jack, just quickly go on her IMDb and just look at the sheer amount of things she was in. Since 2019, she's so. How does she fit it all in? 2021 alone, she was in 4 things. That doesn't sound like that many, actually. She's just in like four things a year. 2018, she was in 5 things. She's so busy, and she's great.
She's great.
She's a talented actress, and I think she did a very good job in this. That because she turns out to be the bad guy. I think when you rewatch it, you're like, this makes so much sense. But she's so good that, like, you really trust her while you're watching it. And even though I thought the second she walked in, okay, she's going to be the villain because of who they've cast. Which I don't know why I thought that. But like, I think they did a really good job of convincing you otherwise. Like, she really felt like she was on, like, she just wanted what was best for Kate, which I suppose she did.
I mean, at the end of the day, she wasn't, like, the villain who tried to, like, kill Kate or something like that. Like, she was just...
Did hire Yelena to kill.
You know, she was just, you know, sort of with the actual bigger villain.
The one that hired Yelena, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Jack, you're not making any noise.
She's got a very rich person way of dealing with problems, which is hire a killer. Yeah. Sort it out.
She's having massive parties all the time. She's in a penthouse.
Got a massive criminal enterprise going. Just, you know, your fiance, take the fall. That's fine.
Yep.
Find another man.
I loved the scenes between her, Jack, and Kate together. So that you only get them together 3 times. Once at the party when Kate finds out and it's really hostile. Like, oh, 4 times, sorry. Then there's in the office, where it's like a really short interaction. Then there's in the house when Kate is really suspicious of Jack. So it's like really like a big fight. And then there's, the next one is, they kind of win Kate over. And like, she sees how happy they are together. Like, they all like have fun, they're enjoying Christmas. And it's like, you genuinely like, they do a really good job with the family dynamic between the 3 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, and I loved Jack. Because
we'll talk about Jack.
Yeah, we'll get
so good. No, we'll do him now. You can go.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like all the stuff, like he's getting books and things to like, be a better stepfather, and he just doesn't give like. I can understand where, you know, Kate's coming from. Is just this sudden appearance in her life, and she's naturally suspicious of him, and then backed up by the fact that she sees him in the auction at the start as well,
and says that he's only at the auction not because he's a bad guy. He just. His hobby is swords.
He just likes swords.
That's all he wants. And I think it's a perfect casting as well, because he's the bad guy in the later seasons of Better Call Saul. And the character, I suppose, is the bad guy in the comics, but the actor is the bad guy in the later seasons of Better Call Saul. So as soon as he walks in, and then you see him go to the evil auction, and Kate doesn't like him, the show does a really good job of going, this guy's the bad guy. And, like, you really think it the whole time.
He has a little bad guy mustache.
Bad guy mustache. And then it turns out in the finale, he's just a confused, nice man. He's very nice and very confused.
I didn't feel, for the whole thing, I was thinking, this guy is misunderstood.
Aww. He was misunderstood. Yeah. He was just very nice.
It made me
and
very
confused
to see him successfully fight off tracksuit guys.
Yeah, it's so good. When like Kate's outside and she's like just fought off all those dudes and it was awesome. And then like the one is like got the gun. He's like, I've got you now. Then he shows up and like takes the dude out. And he's just like, hey Kate, look, it's me. Look, look what I did. Kate, look. He's so happy and he's so confused.
Oh. And like when he gets arrested, he's like, it's all right, darling. I'll sort this out. Someone's obviously set me up.
He's just nice all the time. When Kate is literally trying to stab him in the face, he's just being nice about it.
Yeah, like in all those moments, I was just sort of on Kate's side because I was like, oh, he's just playing this. He's just like lying the whole time and everything. But I feel like now when I rewatch it, I'm going to be like, oh no.
But then so nice. On a rewatch, he's just so nice. And he's just so confused. And I love his like always getting like aphorisms wrong. Like, what's the one that is it absence makes the heart grow older? Or is that the real one?
I thought it was stronger in the real one.
Yeah, no? Absence makes the heart grow older. Ah, Jack. So confused and so nice.
Yeah.
Just like all Jacks.
Yeah, all Jacks.
Yeah, would you say Jack Rackham is confused? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And his hobby is swords.
Oh, my goodness. His hobby is swords because he's a pirate.
Because he's a pirate.
Yeah.
And Jack, your hobby? Swords.
Oh, yeah, swords.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love the swords so much.
It's like they're your favorite hobby, right? House. Yeah.
I've always heard you talk about swords. Go back to any Sorry Meadows episode where the Jack's in, he'll mention a
just
sword
can't
at some point.
Shut up about swords, ever.
It's like Melanie and Pirates. Or Melanie and Sebastian Stan.
Or Melanie and Doctor Who.
Melanie and Doctor Who.
They're so long and metal and sharp and used to hurt people. They're just great, aren't they?
Or you can put them on your mantelpiece, or on the wall, or carry them around at a party on your belt.
Oh, and I love it at the end where he's invited to do the live action role playing.
Yes. Oh, the laughing crew is so great. And I love that when Clint went to the laughing, they didn't like make a joke out of it. They clearly knew their audience because Clint did it and he loved it. Then he like became friends with the group. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love Jack taking a sword to the party. He's wearing a suit with a sword as his decoration. And then the other kid, the Armand Kane the Seventh, comes up to him and he's like being a little dick. And then Jack's like, yeah, well, how about I tell the whole party about when you pissed your pants?
To be fair, swords make great accessories. They just look
great. Yeah, they
great. Do. And you just have like this
It does stand out a bit when he's the only one walking. He just got arrested and let go. He paid bail, so he decided to go to a party with a sword. He's so confused.
It's just, you know, in case some tracksuit guys decide to invade the building, you know?
But he doesn't even know. He doesn't know there's a crime thing happening. He just wore it.
And he's in, like, that room by himself, and he's like, he pulls his sword out, and he's like, now is the time.
Ah, legend. What
legend.
A guy. Jack Sojourn. Legends of Tomorrow.
It's
Hop Universe.
How
Hop
many
universes.
Great characters are in this show? Like, all the ones that actually matter are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Kingpin. Kingpin came back. He's not written as strong here as he is in Daredevil, I don't think. But he's just great. Like, I think him getting beaten by a sidekick in his first appearance in this is a bit like, ooh, maybe they powered him down a bit. But like, you
he
had to have him be beaten.
Down.
No, he didn't, because he was proper throwing her around before that.
Was like, just like...
Like, she had to blow up a building to take him out, and he still got away.
I think, like if he was trying to, like, kill her, which
he
wasn't.
He would have. He was just trying to get her off.
Yeah, because like, she's a teenager, right? So
He's just trying to get her out of the way. And I understand the criticism about having him get beat by a sidekick. Also, it was the last episode of the show. Like, they had to get him beat, and they had to, like... I've seen a lot of people annoyed they killed him off. clearly haven't.
They obviously haven't. If you don't see it on screen, it didn't happen.
Like... I like your idea of him being blind.
Well, that's what happened in the comics. Maya shot him in the face, and then he went blind.
Oh, well,
also, because his goofy-ass look in that episode with the floor shirt and like the hat with the red ribbon on, that's straight out of the comics as well.
God, he's so...
he looks so...
He's just great. I love how like his whole thing is just he's a big boy and he can
he's
just
so
don't take nothing.
He's so scary. Like, cause in this, and I don't remember if they did this in Daredevil, but in this they always shoot him from an angle where he just looks huge.
Mm.
Like, he's so massive. Like Kate Bishop jumps on him and tries to do the Black Widow like head scissor spin. And she just like she barely goes past his shoulders. He's just like, he's so massive. Then she shoots with the arrow and it just like barely goes in.
If I'm not mistaken, Kingpin is also in Into the Spider-Verse.
He is, yeah. And he's bloody huge in that.
And I feel like they did a good job. I mean, that was drawn or animated. They did a good job in this live-action version to make him look as big as possible.
There was some Kingpin leaks beforehand that turned out to be fake. And I'm going to send to the Sorry Meadows chat for you guys to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really glad they didn't happen because it was them trying to make him look bigger so he was more like the comic book or Into the Spider-Verse version by using a mixture of fat
like
and CGI.
Oh.
And it's genuinely like you look at it and you're like, I'm so glad that's not real. Yes.
Oh.
Can you imagine if he had looked fat? So just not convincing at all.
No.
Awful.
This guy doesn't look invincible.
No, this guy doesn't look terrifying.
No.
And what I love is how they've got the same one from Daredevil. It's all starting to come together.
Same
it's all
actor,
knitting
yeah.
together. They're not ignoring the Netflix shows anymore.
Yeah, and he's confirmed as well that like he came back on the condition that it's like he was the same Kingpin from Daredevil. He's not a variant or anything.
Yeah.
And he's confirmed that he didn't get snapped. So my theory is that he didn't. Daredevil did, and that's how he's rebuilt his crime empire.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love them bringing him back. And that reveal at the end, because there's the little hint of him in episode 3 when he walks past Maya at the start and like pinches her cheek. But that's just a big dude with Kingpin's cufflinks. But then like when you get that drop at the end of episode 5, it's like amazing. So glad he's in it. And he's just every time he raises his voice, I'm more scared of him than I am of like any other MCU villain.
Yeah.
Like, he's so scary.
I reckon if Thanos went and punched Kingpin, like, you know how Captain America was, like, holding him back with all of his strength? Well, Kingpin would just, like, one hand, grab the gauntlet, and then toss Thanos over the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually did get snapped. It just, took a little bit off.
Just made him
he was wearing
smaller.
His Hawaiian shirt, and a few of the flowers came off. And then 5 years later, they just went back on. He was like, wow.
But yeah, I love that fight between Kate and Kingpin because it was just like her flying around this unstoppable force, right? It was like this, it was almost like a little fly flying around some sort of like building.
She's literally trying everything she can to stop him and he's just throwing her like
and
across
he's just
the
like,
room every
ugh.
Time. You're really starting to piss me off.
Yeah. He's invincible.
She, as I said, she literally had to blow up the building to take
it. But Kingpin is just a dude, right? He's not like some special...
He's just a dude. He just happens to be massive.
Yeah, okay.
The bullets literally bounce off his eyes.
But like a special kind of massive.
What I love about it is, you know, they can get away with it because it's still a comic book film, right? It's allowed to be goofy. It's allowed to be a little bit silly.
And I think it's good when they go into that a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's why they've maybe like made him seem like a bit more comic book strong. Like he rips the car door off and throws it and stuff like that. Is that like to take him from Netflix to here, you have to like, there is a tonal shift between the Netflix MCU and the rest of the MCU. You do have to like twist him slightly in, which I think like, yeah, dialogue-wise and performance-wise, he was the same. But I think, like, action scene-wise, they did have to, like, power him up a little bit. Because those Netflix shows, like, when a character gets punched, it's like, good, you've got a broken nose for the next 3 episodes and you have to deal with it. But in the MCU, characters get like beaten up and thrown around and stuff, because it's just the nature of the way they do their action. So I can see why they like change them around that way.
But yeah, I was just saying, I really like it when shows do go, like these comic book shows go a bit goofy, because the comics are not always just serious. And I think that's sometimes where DC goes wrong or goes very, very right with a TV show I'm watching right now. But yeah, I just love it when it's a bit goofy.
Shall we talk about next two characters? I don't think we can talk about quite as much because there's not really that much to say on them. The tracksuit mafia.
Speaking of goofy.
Oh, I love the how he bought Imagine Dragons tickets.
Yes.
And Kate Bishop's like, well, you kind of bought that for yourself, and you know, like gives him a pep talk about, you know, how to be better in a relationship. And then it comes back in the finale and they're like trying to shoot her.
And what is it she says to him? Oh, just look on the bright side. At least you don't have to go see Imagine Dragons.
I love Imagine Dragons.
What's funny about that is that Hailee Steinfeld's, I was going to say Hailee Steinfeld's other show from November, she had three shows in November. One that was completely impartial on Imagine Dragons. I've heard from an inside source that Dickinson had no Imagine Dragons references. But the Arcane, her League of Legends show, its theme song is by Imagine Dragons, and it has Imagine Dragons cameos. So you get one Hailee Steinfeld show that's pro Imagine Dragons, one with no Imagine Dragons opinions, and one that's anti Imagine Dragons, to appeal to every side, every possible type of person.
Amazing,
beautiful.
Yeah, I love the I think everything the Tracksuit Mafia say is balanced, hilarious.
Like, how just all things in life should be. I don't know.
That's what. Yeah, because Thanos, he was showing Gamora the dagger. And he was like, in the middle here, you've got Dickinson, no Imagine Dragons. On this side, you've got Arcane, pro Imagine Dragons. And on this side, you have Hawkeye, anti Imagine Dragons. And Gamora was like, what? I thought he wanted to destroy half the universe. He said, no, I have to talk about Imagine Dragons first. Yeah, Tracksuit Mafia are great. I love the scene where it's just them in a van having a conversation about which movie characters have the best tracksuits.
Yeah.
Like, the Royal Tenenbaums, classic tracksuits. Do you think we look like the Royal Tenenbaums?
Good movie.
It's great because they've made like the, you know, just the bad sort of hustle like really lovable, kind of, because they're bad because, you know, they're crime people, but they've really made them look just like a bunch of guys that are just working like in a iffy business.
Yeah, and their cars, really funny. What is it, their van says, trust a bro. Trust a bro rentals.
Oh. I like the idea that the van is literally a rental van. Like, they're not disguising it, they've just rented a van.
Yeah. Bro. I love his rant in the warehouse when they kidnap Clint. And they've got him, like, tied to the chair in the warehouse. And Clint's like, lovely place you got here. And the guy just immediately flips. And he's like, do you know how hard it is to find an abandoned warehouse these days? They'll keep getting converted. Because a villain, they have to have an abandoned warehouse. They just have to.
Yeah, but they do also make good apartments.
Oh, I forgot that one of them was a real character, Kazi. He was a proper character.
Yeah.
I saw a picture. I saw a picture that was like, has anyone noticed how many MCU actors are being recast lately? And it was Gemma Chan in Captain Marvel and Eternals. And then it was Michelle Yeoh in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Shang-Chi. And then it was Kit Harington in Eternals. And Kazi in this.
He does look a lot like Kit Harington.
He does.
He gets the single funniest moment of this whole show for me, and it's when he's running up to the ice rink with the two guys by his side, and Clint shoots the arrow that splits into three, and it hits the two guys either side, and Kazi catches his, then shouts to Clint, good shot, and Clint just shouts back, yeah, no shit.
I don't remember, but is the camera on Clint when he says yeah, no shit?
Yeah, he's okay, like really far away. Him shouting from really far away.
But then I would have loved him if it was just in the background. Yeah, no shit.
Easy, the funniest joke in this.
That's pretty good.
I liked him. He's dead. I forgot he died. I was thinking maybe he'll show up in Echo.
No, he died.
Yeah.
What happened to him? Can you remind me?
Maya stabbed him. Oh, he had a cool fight with Maya, but obviously wasn't going to win.
No. Maybe he survived.
Tracksuit guy versus actual, you know, character.
Character. Wow. Rest in peace, Kit Harington.
Sorry, Kit
Harington. We'll see you in. See you in Eternals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler. We'll see him in. Oh, shit. Yeah. Spoiler. We'll beep it. We'll beep it.
That's right. Kit Harington is in Game of Thrones.
Whoa, dude.
What?
And one last character to talk about. Obviously, the best character of the show. Screw Jason. Screw Kate, screw Yelena, screw Kingpin. It's all about Lucky the pizza dog.
Best dog. A good boy.
I love it when Kate and Clint are just, I don't know, like in the subway or something. They're like, we should go walk the dog.
They never say that twice in the show. Yeah. The dog really needs a walk.
Because he can't do much. He's a dog.
Yeah.
He's just so cute.
Yeah. Pizza dog.
There's an issue of the comics, the run that I got you to read, Manly, the one by Matt Fraction and David Ayer, that this show takes a lot of inspiration from. There's an issue that is entirely from Lucky's perspective, and it's just him walking around Hawkeye's apartment block while like important plot things happen, but they're all speaking human, so the only word he understands is when they say his name. So all of the speech bubbles are just like Lucky. It's just him like walking around the apartment block the whole episode.
Oh,
it's all from his perspective. And I want, if they make a season 2 of Hawkeye, I want an episode from Lucky's perspective where you just can't understand anything. It's just him.
Have
and
you
the...
seen Doug Days on Disney Plus, which is about the dog from
Up. The dog from Up.
No. Yeah. That's very good. It's the same kind of thing. Whereas let's from the point of view of the dog.
Let's have a Disney's dogs team up movie. A multiverse Disney's dogs team up movie. Doug, Bolt. Lucky.
Yes! And Lucky's just a dog.
He's just a dog!
I don't know if those are Disney, but weren't there like a lot of like the Santa buddies and...
Yeah, all of those. All
of those. All the buddies.
But Lucky's the best of all of them. And the Marvel Instagram account on the day the show came out said that that Clint had to team up with his biggest fan and one of the world's greatest archers, and Lucky, the MCU's bestest boy, which means it's canon that Lucky is the bestest boy in the whole MCU.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a fact.
Official.
Yeah.
It's
a fact.
What a good boy.
Yeah, the bestest boy.
Bestest.
Well, do you think only Lucky one was eye. Blipped?
Lucky, no. Lucky can't die. I'm glad they changed how he lost his eye in this, though, because I didn't want to see it on screen. In the comic, Lucky loses his eye because he gets hit by a car, and there's an issue where the whole thing is Clint sees Lucky get hit by a car and takes him to the vet.
Quite at the beginning.
The first issue, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the first two. And Lucky gets hit by a car and Clint has to take him to the vet, but Clint's being harassed by the tracksuit mafia while he's trying to get this dog fixed. So the whole thing is him just fighting them out of the vets while the vet fixes his dog. I didn't want to see the dog get hit by a cart in the show.
No.
So they just started him with only one eye, even though the actor has two eyes.
Oh. Well,
that's good acting.
Yeah. That's a very good boy.
Really made me believe he was a dog.
It's just a man in a dog suit.
Woof.
Give the pizza. Kate Bishop, give me the pizza.
Kate,
I am a good boy. Wag, wag.
Wag, wag.
I thought Ant-Man was going to show up in this.
Yeah?
Not until I watched it, but then every episode kept doing Ant-Man things. Like, episode 1, they had him in the musical, which was incredible. Okay, I'll get
which
back to Ant-Man.
Which is historically incorrect.
Do you reckon the reason why Ant-Man was in the musical was because someone saw him in New York in 2012 when they went back there for Endgame and is trying to figure out how he fits in?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So it's just like, Ant-Man was in New York. Was he an Avenger?
just didn't do anything.
And then episode two, you had the cosplayers on the street, and one of them was Ant-Man. And then episode three, there's the Pymtek arrow.
Yeah, the arrow.
So I was thinking, are they setting up a Hawkeye, an Ant-Man cameo? They didn't. It's fine. I didn't need it, but that's where it was going. I love the moment, just because they both made it onto my Archer's ranking, as Melanie knows, when Kate's
including
like,
me.
Hey, that guy's you. And Clint's like, no, that's Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, dear.
What a show.
Really fun show.
Yeah, I want to watch it again, even though I've already watched it twice.
Hey, man, you can watch it as much as you want. That's the great thing.
About Disney Plus.
Not sponsored by Disney Plus.
I was going to just say TV show, so we didn't sound like we'd be sponsored by Disney.
We're not sponsored, trust us. Yeah. We would love to be sponsored, though, so if anybody wants to, hit us up.
We'll be sponsored by anyone. As long as
we're complete sellouts.
As long as you're an okay person to be sponsored by. But Disney Plus, who's your biggest fan? I've seen your Star Wars stuff. I've seen your MCU stuff. I've seen High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Pretty good.
I'm about to watch every DCOM with my good friend Melanie.
Oh, I can't wait for Camp Rock.
maybe sponsors Disney Plus. You really need the advertisement. As I said earlier, the purpose of the Sorry Meadows podcast is to up the viewership of the MCU. And there's no better way to do it than to get a sponsor by Disney Plus.
Especially with our viewership, you really want that.
Or if Disney, you're not up for it, that pen company Mike really likes probably should do it.
Oh, the pens.
just for
Flexmade,
who aren't watching
made
the non-existent
ultra
video version, when Jack said that, I immediately picked up a full 5-pack of FlexGrip Peppermint Ultras. The best pen in the world.
FlexGrip. I really want it next time I'm at yours. I really want to test one out.
Sure.
I won't steal it, I swear, but I want to test it out.
I mean, I wouldn't lend me one.
FlexGrip Ultra retractable pen at ballpoint has a comfort rubberized grip designed for a more enjoyable writing experience.
All right, guys, thanks for
thank you for
product
listening.
Product made from 42% recycled.
This was Sorry Meadows.
2, available with a bright, solid, all plastic coat.
That's goodbye.
3, extremely smooth
goodbye
performance
from
using the light
me,
resistance
Melanie.
Lubri Glide ink. 4, quality retractable ball pen with gripping area. Goodbye.